folks, it's your buddy and mine,
Mr. Bobby Bones.
Let's go. Transmitting across America.
This is the Bobby Bones Show.
That's right.
Now, here he is.
Turn it up.
Come on, Bobby.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the show. We got another one here for you. A good one, too. It's Tuesday. I am still on the island, Mon. You know what I mean?
That would be more like Jamaica.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You gotta say whatever. Brah for Hawaii.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, like hang 10.
Hey, brah.
Oh. Hey, bras.
That's,
hey.
Well, not bras, but okay. All right.
Hang 10. I'm still in Hawaii. I will be here. We leave, what, tonight?
Yeah,
we leave tonight.
Yeah.
Been here with American Idol, but I leave tonight. So last show from here, I'm gonna miss this place. Become home. I've really just been working for the most part. Morning studio.
Morning.
All right. Why don't we start with Amy's hair? Feel like starting there?
Sure.
We had mentioned it yesterday. It looks good. Like, you cut it a lot shorter. In the back, it looks really short.
Oh, the back is so short, and then it goes down at an angle, and I can barely put it in a ponytail.
By the way, for our listeners, her hair does go almost to her shoulders, so it's not like she cut it, you know, shaved it or anything, but it's almost right at the shoulders. Amy's known for having very long, you know, Friday Night Light, Connie Britton type hair, right?
Yeah.
And now it's pretty blonde. Am I right, or is it blonder?
It's more blonde, yes. Mm-hmm.
And it's short. Now, I'm kind of into the short hair. I think it looks fantastic on you. Your husband is not, though.
Yeah, no. He just really loved my long hair that I had, like, before we got kids. Like a year ago, and I've just been cutting it. And he's like, I mean, your next haircut, when I came home from this, he's like, next time you don't even need to go to the salon. We could just put a bowl on your head and cut it. And I was like, rude. This is way more talent than just putting a bowl on a head. And then he said that he's going to shave his beard if I cut it any shorter because I love his beard. And I'm like, okay, the real mature.
You guys are, like, threatening each other with hair?
Yeah. Okay. He's like, okay, that's enough. If you go any shorter, I'm going to shave my beard off. And I'm like, no. I love your beard. He's like, well, I loved your hair.
So. Well, I like it. Do you feel good about it?
Yeah. I love it.
I guess what he's... Again, I'm going to speak for him for a second. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's worried that because you hear the old adage... That as moms get older, they cut their hair shorter and shorter because they don't want to deal with it. They don't have time with it.
Right.
And
it is so much easier.
You're going to turn into that.
Yeah. I get it. I watched my mom do that. My mom had this gorgeous hair, and then I watched her slowly get shorter. Short, short, really short. And I was like, gosh, Mom, why would you do that? And now I'm like, kind of feeling it.
Eddie, your thoughts on Amy's hair?
I like it. I don't have a problem. I think moms look great. Like, I think moms are attractive, and Amy, I like your hair.
Eddie likes moms.
Lunchbox?
I think she keeps going shorter and shorter because she is definitely trying to look like Maren Morris as much as she can.
Oh, no. Oh, really?
Did Maren cut her hair shorter?
I mean, it looks pretty short. Like, they look about the same length now, and I think Amy likes those comparisons, and she wants to keep being compared to her, so she's trying to match hair for hair.
I never thought about that. I don't think so. You're also blonder.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay.
What do you
well,
think, Bones?
I like it. I'm into it. I like really short hair. I like someone that can pull off like a buzz cut.
Oh, yeah. I could not do that.
Oh, do the Demi. Do the Demi.
And yeah. What was that movie, G.I. Jane?
I don't know about all that. That's short. But
oh,
I
could
do
not
like
do
short
that.
Hair.
If I. No. Oh, yeah, no.
The Bobby Bones Show.
Big three stories.
Hey, it's producer Raymundo. The polar vortex is here weather-wise. 10 to 20 degrees colder in a lot of places. Around the Great Lakes, it's going to be 0 degrees with negative 30 wind chills. In Houston, 4 police officers were shot. Another was injured while serving a search warrant at a home. The officers are all in the hospital right now. And finally, at airports, the wait times in the TSA lines are improving. Almost everyone's back at work, so that's great news.
The Bobby Bones Show.
Here's Ashley in Virginia. Ashley, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm really good. Appreciate you calling so early. Appreciate you hanging out on the phone. What's going on?
I read your book. I'm almost done with it, Bare Bones, and I love your book. It's, like, amazing.
Oh, wow.
So I'm going to go buy your other book if I can find it. I can't find it anywhere, so I'm going to go look.
So I wrote a book. My first book was called Bare Bones, and it's kind of the story of my life. What would you tell listeners about that, Ashley? What's the story of my life?
You started out as, like, a poor guy. Like, I hate to say it like that, but you did. And then you, like, like, I don't know how to explain it. It's just a really good book.
I started as a poor guy, and now here I am. Amy. Yeah.
It's a really good summary.
It is a good summary. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. That keeps it real.
Basically, yeah. The Cliff Notes version right there.
You're done. You don't even have to read my book,
no.
Bare Bones. Ashley just told you the whole book. I started as a poor guy. Here I am.
The best way you could describe it.
Yeah. So, Ashley, you would recommend my book, Bare Bones.
Yeah, definitely.
I can't wait to see what she thinks your next book is about.
Ashley, I'll just send you one. I think we have some up here. I'll send you my second book, Fail Until You Don't.
Are you serious?
Yeah, why not? You gave such an eloquent reading of my first. Mm-hmm. I don't know why you can't give me my second and get a book report back from you after that one, right?
You save people so much time.
That's
just
amazing. Thank you so much, Bobby. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Anything else you want to share with listeners about my first book, Bare Bones?
No, it's just a really good book. Yeah, it made me cry at first, though. I don't know why.
Wow. How long has he grew up for?
Yeah.
A poor man.
No, it was just sad because it was kind of like my childhood.
Yeah.
My mom was an alcoholic really bad. It's awesome.
When I wrote that book, this is not a joke. I thought, man, I wonder if people are, and not in like a good way, but I was like, I hope people don't feel sorry for me. And then I realized people didn't. Most people related to what I was saying more than they felt sorry for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I never felt sorry for you at all.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. That's never what I want. Okay. Well, thank you, Ashley. I'm going to put you on hold, and I'm going to send you my second book.
Awesome. Thanks, Bobby.
You're welcome. Hold on one second.
Okay.
You know, 2016, I put a... No, 2017 I put a book out, 2018 I put a book out. I don't know if I'm going to hit it in 2019.
Oh, is there a goal for a book this year?
I don't know. Okay. There was never a goal for a book ever.
Yeah, okay.
But now it's like, put out a book. What would I write it about? Maybe I'll do a kid's book. That's always been on the thing.
Yeah, you should totally do that.
Let's go over to Jack in Chicago. Jack, what's up, buddy?
Not too much. How are you, Bobby?
How you, man? What do you want to say?
So I just want to say, you know, I grew up my whole life, and I've never, ever watched The Bachelor, ever. You know, I've been against it, you know, how cheesy it is and dramatic it is, but if you were on the show, I would watch that 100%.
See?
Listen, I'm not even talking about this so much as Amy brought it up, and there was a story written that they think ABC is wooing me for the next Bachelor.
Wooing.
All I'm saying is there would have to be a lot of concessions given just for me to do the show. I'd have to work every morning because I wouldn't leave the show. And they never let The Bachelor work on that show. And I don't drink. And a lot of times everybody's drinking the whole time in order to get them in a good place for TV.
They're not even secretly doing a little work?
I don't think so. I don't think you have internet. I think you just are stuck.
Whoa, so we would have to lead you. Would that mean
No, I would have to have everything there.
Oh, I thought you would just come on every day with no internet.
No.
And we'd be like, guess what
happened? I would depend on you guys. Yeah. Hey, Jack, how long you been listening to Chicago?
You know, just about a year. Moved in with my fiance about a year ago and loving it.
All right, well, I appreciate you calling, bud. Thanks for sharing that with us.
Absolutely. Have a great day.
All right, there he is. Yeah. I'm saying nothing about The Bachelor. You guys keep bringing it up.
Okay.
There's nothing happening right now.
Okay.
0.0. Cool?
Bobby Bones, come
on. So you were at the mall.
Yes.
And who do you see?
Thomas Rhett.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, stars are just like us.
Wow. Who was Thomas Rhett with at the mall?
His brother-in-law?
Yeah?
Yeah.
Just walking around?
Just chilling, doing some shopping.
What store?
Nordstrom.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did you go up to him?
Well, we just passed each other. It's like we looked at each other, did a double take, and then we're like, hey!
Did you say hi, though?
Yeah, we talked.
Oh, okay. What'd you guys talk about? What did you talk with Thomas Rhett about at the mall?
We talked about our kids, because he's adopted, I'm adopted. We talked about... He asks this even when he's here. I feel like maybe he's good at having like a go-to to talk about.
Yeah.
Because he's asked me this here before. But yeah, in the middle of Nordstrom, he's like, so what time do you have to wake up in the morning? And I feel like anytime he comes in for interviews, he's like, what time do y'all wake up in the morning?
That's a pretty common question about us.
Yeah.
Because we have to get up so early.
Mm-hmm. So we talked about that a little bit, like schedules. And then his brother-in-law, he just got his pilot's license.
Oh, and your husband's a pilot.
He's a pilot, so we talked about flying planes for a little bit. And then that was it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How do you break off that conversation? Like, oh, gotta go, Thomas Rhett.
We both were like... I mean, it definitely was not too long. I mean, I definitely didn't want to, because I can ramble, and I know that about myself, so I wanted to make sure I was like, okay, well, I don't want to keep you. Hope you're having a good day.
You keep wanting more, right?
Mm-hmm. And we just kind of like, you know, start walking apart. Like, tell your Wi-Fi, bye. Yeah.
What time does everybody wake up in the morning, Amy?
I guess it varies depending on what we have to do that day, but 3:45?
3:45. Yeah, I'm probably... I used to wake up at 3:02 every morning. I sleep to 3:22 now. I've put about 20 minutes on in the new year. If I'm admitted to my laziness, I've put about, 3:22. Mm-hmm. Lunchbox?
Oh, 4:15.
Wow.
Yeah, because I roll out of bed, throw on the clothes, brush teeth in the car, here in no time.
Eddie?
4:10.
Yeah.
Because I have time to take a shower.
You live so far away, Eddie.
I know, I'm pushing
you're waking up
every
an hour
morning.
After me, and you're still so far away. That's crazy. But yeah, our hours are not awesome. We have a great job, so in the end, it's worth it.
Right.
But yeah. Yeah, I wonder if that's what he asks everybody. What if he doesn't ask Thomas Schreck, asks everybody regardless
so
of job?
So what time do you wake up?
Dude, 11 a.m. Why do you ask?
Yeah.
The latest from Nashville and Hollywood. Morgan number 2's 30 Second Skinny.
Tim McGraw will be headlining the NFL tailgate party, performing his song, Thought About You. It will air on CBS right before the Super Bowl. Luke Bryan posted a video on his Instagram where they were headed from Mexico to Hawaii and got a little bit delayed because of all their luggage falling onto the highway.
Heading to Hawaii and Doc pulls out of the resort. The hatch opens. All our bags fell in the highway.
Dierks Bentley and John Party are treating fans to a duet version of Dierks' Am I the Only One song while on tour together. Here's a clip. Morgan number 2, that's your skinny.
It's time for the good news.
With Amy.
Tell me something good.
So during winter months, homeless shelters fill up like crazy because obviously it's really cold and then they reach capacity and they have to turn people away, which is awful. So there was this empty hospital and someone had the idea like, hey, nobody's using this hospital. Could we turn it into a temporary shelter? So they put 80 beds in there, and it's now a homeless shelter for men, women, and their pets. The whole pet thing sets this place totally apart because most shelters don't allow pets. Super cool.
There you go. That's what it's all about.
Bobby Bones Show.
Bonehead.
Story of the day.
This story comes to us from Florida. Police showed up at work at 7 a.m., opened the doors like, man, there's a broken window. Oh, looks like someone stole a couple items and someone cooked a chicken dinner in the microwave.
In the police station?
In the police station. Like, wonder who did it. Oh, what do you know? 29-year-old man left his ID sitting by the microwave.
Oh.
Wow.
That's so funny. It's so dumb. Like, that's something I did in, like, second grade. Did I ever tell you the story? So in second grade, I had this girl I had a crush on. Named Christy Avant, and I would never ever tell her I liked her. I don't even tell girls now I like them. So
correct.
This has been consistent in my life. And I was like, I'm going to write her a secret admirer note. And so I wrote this note, and I was like, I'm your biggest secret admirer. All I want to do is hold your hand. It was that kind of thing in second grade. And I gave it, and I put it on her desk. And then I was like, she just needs to know she has secret admirer.
Yeah.
It was my stupid worksheet on the other side of it, and it said my name on the top
so
of it.
So dumb.
Yeah. Now I'm your bonehead.
You were smart, but like not.
I know.
But not that smart.
When it comes to girls, like, duh.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lunchbox.
I'm Lunchbox. That's your bonehead story of the day.
Bobby Bones.
Folks, it's your buddy and mine.
Mr. Bobby Bones.
Let's go. Transmitting across America.
This is the Bobby Bones Show.
That's right. Now, here he is.
Turn it up.
Come on, Bobby.
I almost started Friday Night Lights. I was so close to clicking it. I know we talked about it. I'm still finishing up Man in High Castle. It's kind of slow.
Told you that was going to happen.
It's kind of slow. I'm into the idea. It's on Amazon.
Yeah.
But I can tell you, as I was flying over here, I'm in Hawaii now with American Idol for a few days. But I can tell you, I watched the new Mission Impossible movie on the airplane. I didn't think it was that good. And it got high reviews. Have you guys seen the new Mission Impossible?
No. Mm.
I thought it was pretty cheesy. But Rotten Tomatoes was like super high. I started watching the new Avengers, and I really liked it. I didn't finish it yet, though, because the plane landed. But have you seen that? Yeah, Amy's seen it because she ruined the ending for me.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
So I watched that knowing what's going to happen at the end. But I do think it's cool that like all the new characters come in. Like Ant-Man comes in. Like Guardians of the Galaxy come in. Well, that's pretty cool. So I was watching that. I was going to watch Man in High Castle. There is another one I was about to watch about those three brothers, those three identical strangers.
Yes.
That's on the airplane. Have you seen that?
Yes. I watched it. I rented it on Amazon. And it's so crazy.
What's it called?
Triplets.
Is it called Three Identical Strangers?
Strangers, yes. Three Identical Strangers. And they were put up for adoption by their mom to an agency, and they lived together in a crib for like 6 months. And
this is real, by the way. It's like a documentary, right?
Documentary. You're watching them way later in life, and they're sharing their story of how they were adopted by three different families. They were split up, and they never knew they had other siblings, like twins or triplets. They never knew they had multiple brothers. And then, like, by chance, they found out when one of them went to college, the same college as the other one.
And wait, so did two of them go to the same college and they found a third? Like, how did this happen?
Yeah, so here, okay, this is crazy. So one of them goes to this college and he decides he's not going to come back next semester. Then the next one shows up that semester and some of the other one's friends are like, dude, you decided to come back. We're so happy to see you.
What?
So glad you came. And he's like, what are you talking about? I'm brand new. Like, and they're like,
I'm brand new.
They're like, shut up, stop it. And then their minds are blown. So they're like, you got to meet our other buddy. I mean, they were friends with him. So they called him. And then they took him over to his house and they saw him face to face and they were like,
oh
my gosh. So then the paper found out about it, ran a story about them. Then it ran in the paper and the third one's family saw him in the paper and was like, oh my gosh, you know, I don't remember their names, but you know, like Johnny's in the paper. These guys look like Johnny. And then they introduced them. And then now there's three of them. And they were so famous. They were on every talk show, late night show in the 80s. Like, it was nutso.
Did you spoil the whole show right there?
Yep.
No, I did not.
What's it called?
Okay.
I swear to you, I didn't spoil anything. The crazy part, I haven't even said.
Three identical strangers.
Yes. Yes. Obviously, you know three.
Amy's doing Yas.
Oh,
Amy's
goodness.
Now speaking Y-A-A-S. Yas.
Because I didn't give anything away, I promise. I promise you.
Did Hillary have a Netflix recommendation? Was that who also sent me one? Hillary, she's still our phone screener for now, but she's about to come off the phones. I think she sent me Oh, it was the Ted Bundy tapes.
Ooh, that looks so good.
I've been
wanting
to know about this.
You know what? I was scared to jump on it because it was late at night. Hillary, you saw the Ted Bundy tapes?
Yes, it was so good.
Okay, I'm going to do it.
Is it him talking? How does this work?
Yeah, he pretty much tells the whole story. He did an interview, so they have all these tapes, like hundreds of hours, and he's like telling the story of what happened.
So Ted Bundy's a serial killer, but he's really good looking, right?
Yeah, he is.
Zac Efron's playing him in a movie they're making now. Did you see that?
I did. I'm so excited for it.
That's going to be dark.
So, I know, right? And why'd you laugh? Why'd you snicker when I said it was nighttime so I couldn't watch it?
You were like, I wanted to watch it, but it was late. Because it's so cute. It's kind of funny cute that you can't watch scary things at night.
I don't, because it's too close to bedtime. And then I go to bed and I dream about it.
Yeah.
That's why I don't watch scary movies. Hillary, you liked it, though?
I did, and I'm a big chicken, and I was able to watch it by myself.
How many episodes is it?
There's four, and they're an hour each.
Anyone else see anything new, good, Lunchbox?
No, I just watched the Firefest documentary. I'm telling you, that's the best thing out there. It is amazing.
Three identical strangers are pretty crazy.
Well, I'm going to get on that now that I've heard
I'm
going to
get on that, too. Eddie, you see anything good?
No, Bones. I have two more episodes left of Friday Night Lights, which I'm excited for you to start. I cannot wait. You're going to love
really?
It.
Really? You think it's that good?
Yeah, yes. We need to jump ship on Man in the High Castle. Say bye. Get on Friday Night Lights. Choo-choo.
All right, haters. The Bobby Bones Show. I thought I'd bring in our girl group here. It's Amy, Morgan number two, and Hillary. And so you guys come in. It's kind of like a focus group. I like to know what you guys are thinking about certain situations, all right?
Cool.
All right. Amy, tell everybody a little bit about yourself.
I'm the oldest of the girl group.
Yeah.
Kind of like to think of myself as the big sister.
There you go.
Yeah. I'm 37. I'm a mom of two kids and a wife of 12 years. So I'm in a little bit of a different space than the other girls.
Okay, Hillary, tell everybody a little something about you.
I'm Hillary. I just turned 26. Last time we decided I love Chick-fil-A.
That's true.
I'm single.
And she's single. Okay, and Morgan number two, tell everybody something about you.
I'm 25. I really love my dog. I eat Taco Bell probably five times a week.
Wow.
And
you're a vegetarian, you eat Taco Bell that much, huh?
Bean burrito. It's so good.
Wow. Okay, so that's what you have here. What?
Nothing. I just should be 25 again. I can't even look at Taco Bell. I'll gain 5 pounds.
Listen to this story. The dude is 30 and the girl, 22 years old, they were mugged.
Wait, hold on, what?
He's 30, she's 22. A mugger goes up to them, right? And as the mugger goes up, he runs off and leaves her alone. He claims he was running for help, but she says she didn't hear from him for over an hour. Her question is, just wondering how bad I should blow his
keep up. So imagine it. You're out walking with your boyfriend. A mugger comes and he takes off running. Oh, man. Here's part of it. Tuesday night, the boyfriend and I were out. He parked in an alley because it's free. As we got to the car, this homeless guy stepped out with a screwdriver and said something like, "All I need is a hit. $20 and no one gets hurt." My boyfriend ran away. He didn't even look behind him, so I was stuck with the mugger since I had my phone. He rubbed his hands all over me, and he was holding the screwdriver near my throat. Okay, so what do you think about this situation here? You're with your dude. Mm-hmm. Someone comes up that's threatening your life, and he runs away. What do you do? Amy.
Holly, I don't know for sure that he is my boyfriend anymore, because that is, like, for the rest of my life, if I'm in any situation, I know he's just going to run and think about himself. He didn't even check on me for an hour, and all he had to do was throw a 20 at the guy. I mean, I don't think I'm going to blow him up. I'm not going to cause a scene. And let me tell you, if we do stay together, I will tell this story at, like, every family event.
Oof. Okay, let me throw a curveball here that I didn't say yet. Now, he says, and I'll go to Morgan number two, he says that he was running to get help.
I think he should have stayed behind and she should have ran to get help. I mean, I guess I kind of expect a guy I'm with to take care of me.
Protect me.
So if he doesn't, it would kind of hinder that relationship moving forward.
Hillary?
I agree. I feel like he should at least like grabbed me or grabbed my hand to make sure I ran with him. He shouldn't just leave me. He should protect me and make sure I'm okay.
Yes. We as women, we look for security and protection. I don't say this for all women, but I feel like we're kind of all the same. My husband, I think I married the kind of guy that I know would take care of things and say, "Go, go, go, save yourself. I've got this." And I'd be like, "Okay, thank you."
Would you run?
Yeah, but I would run and get help for real. Where did he go for an hour?
Lunchbox wants to hop in the girl group conversation.
Yeah, I
want to
jump in. All these girls talk about equality. Oh, the guy's got to pay for the first date. Like, we want equality. Why can't you defend yourself? Why is the guy got to sacrifice his body for you? Why can't you do it for him? I mean, what's wrong with him running away?
Hillary?
I disagree. I think he should at least make sure I was okay.
God's yeah, he did. He checked on you an hour later, man. He ran.
In most relationships, the man is going to be bigger, stronger, more powerful, and women are more vulnerable. I get the whole equality thing, Lunchbox. You're right. I, as a woman, I want that, and
exactly,
I should be able to take care of myself. But I'm going to be more attracted. I'm just telling you what I'm attracted to, and I'm attracted to a man that is not going to run and leave me. Yeah, but I can also pay for my own dinner.
So what?
Thank you.
That's not true, because many times you've been
exactly.
Like, "Go pick up my wallet."
Ooh.
And I paid for dinner.
We weren't
dating.
Yeah, but still, you were like, "I forgot my wallet."
I really did forget my wallet.
Okay, so what happens, Amy? You're dating this dude. He does it. Do you give him a shot to sit together, or do you dump him outright?
Okay, I'm going to give it a shot.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to give it a shot.
Uh-huh.
But he better know that was not cool. And yeah, we'll see what happens. Maybe I'll have to set up another little incident. See how.
Oh, now Amy's staging a robbery. Morgan number two.
I think I'd end the relationship. That's a red flag to me. And at that point, you just gotta cut your losses. Yeah.
Hillary,
I'm ending
that.
The relationship.
Wow! 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 There you go. What's that, Lunchbox?
Haters.
Okay. There you go. That's our girl group. Thank you for your opinions. We brought in the girl group today. Anything you want to say to guys out there, Amy, that are listening that may go through the same situation with their girl?
Don't be a wimp.
Don't be a wimp.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, Lunchbox, you're telling me you would run from your wife right now. If a homeless man approached her and had a screwdriver, you'd be like, "Feet don't fail me now."
Listen, dating and wife is different, because if you're dating, I mean, you're going to give up your life for someone you're just dating. It's a good point. Because she can break up with you next week after you get stabbed with a screwdriver.
It's a human thing more than it is a dating or a married thing.
Yeah. Bobby, you and I, as friends and
I would tell you to go, and I'd beat the crap out of him or get stabbed. For sure.
Okay.
For sure.
I didn't. I mean, I'm just checking.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
also
awesome.
Yeah.
So many girls right now that are like kind of into you right now are like more into you. Because you just said you'd do that.
Oh, for sure. Oh, then I'd go just beat up other people too randomly. I'd be like, "Yeah, who wants some more?" I'd fight in your honor as my friend. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right. Thank you, ladies. Bobby Bone, come on. All right. What's the greatest lesson in life that you've learned? Amy, you're up first.
Well, I've learned a lot in my 37 years, but I think, well, on a more serious note, grace is something huge that I think I've learned to really extend to people. And I think you have to be intentional about it, because I think when I was younger, I would often be like, golly, what is wrong with those people? Why are they acting that way? Da, da, da. But you just never know what someone else is going through. So if you constantly are in a state of like trying to extend grace, then you see people differently. I no longer see it as like, oh, that grouchy person that's having a bad day. I see it with like, oh, wow, I wonder how I can just quickly say a prayer for them that maybe they won't even know, or I can just smile at them or say hi, because that little thing may help change whatever heaviness they have going on in their life, because clearly something's going on. What's yours?
Good. The greatest lesson in my life that I've learned is that nobody else knows what they're doing either. Nobody knows what they're doing. We're all just trying our best, and we see people that have it all together, and we feel inadequate because we go, well, I don't have it figured out like they do. They don't, or they didn't until they figured it out.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many times that we compare ourselves to others, and not even in like the Instagram way of, well, look what they have it, I don't. But we're like, man, they really have got this down. Like, they know what they're doing. We don't.
Yeah. That's comforting.
Yeah. And I wrote a whole thing about it in my last book. Like, nobody knows what they're doing. Some people just hide it better. You know, I come in, and you know what I'm really good at is doing this show, right? This is what I'm good at. I excel at radio and talking. Even then, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I have an idea. I've been practicing enough that I've messed up enough to go, oh, if something goes wrong, I know how to do this. Yeah. But I don't really know what I'm doing. Nobody knows what they're doing. And I think that's the real key in, like, trying to better yourself. And not just career-wise, but nobody knows what they're doing, ever. And so that's the biggest lesson that I've learned, and not to really compare myself to people that I feel like have all the puzzle pieces in the right spot, because they don't. If it looks like they do, they're just, you know, what they're good at is actually just looking like a good put-together puzzle.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Lunchbox, the greatest lesson you've learned in your life.
The greatest lesson I've learned is sometimes God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. Like, no joke, because you have dreams that you have set out. Like, I wanted to go to Kansas University. I wanted to go there and go to college. I didn't get in. I couldn't afford it. And I was like, my life is over. It's ruined. Guess what? It worked out fine for me, because if I would have gone to college there, I would have met different people. I'd have different friends. And if I'd have gone on the real world, who knows where I would have ended up.
Would you go back into the real world if it was presented to you, knowing what you know now about today?
Yes. Yes, I would. But yeah. I'm saying my life didn't end because I didn't make real world. I still reached.
Good.
I still got to do some cool things. I thought when I didn't make it, I thought, man, there goes my life. Mm. Like, I really did. And as I got older, I realized, you know, it's okay that it didn't happen. So some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers.
Good one.
And so, there was hotties in high school.
Oh boy.
That
no.
I was like,
just stop,
man,
there.
He's been thinking about this.
Oh yeah, go ahead.
Man, I would love to, you know, that would be the one. And then they turn out like, I mean, I've been out of high school 20 years, and you look at their pictures on Facebook, you're like, dang God, I didn't marry that one.
Like,
oh,
why?
My gosh.
I don't get it.
Let's just say they put on that.
All right. Okay.
Those, I'm telling you, that's it. That's the best lesson I've ever learned.
Let's go over to our producer, Eddie, who does all our video work. Producer Eddie, what is the greatest lesson in life that you've learned?
My wife taught me a while back that if people don't care about you, like, if you do something, like, people are going to forget. They may think like, oh, wow, this guy did something really stupid for like 5 seconds, and then they move on to them. So don't live your life thinking that people care so much about you. Just live your life how you feel like you need to live it, and don't care so much about what other people think. Like, that to me is truth, that I've just kind of lived my life and realized that, man, people really, like, they just care about themselves. They'll start thinking about themselves a minute after you do your mistake.
So I did a whole, I'll just reference this real quick. I did a whole thing in my book about hot yoga, this exact thing. Like, I'm a big believer in that nobody cares about your faults. We're so focused on our own that we don't care. Like, boom. Think of the last time somebody else embarrassed herself. Oh, I can't, real quick.
You remember for a second.
Think about the last time you saw somebody really botch a speech.
No, I don't remember.
Or a presentation.
Yeah,
or,
no.
You don't. For a second, you go, huh, then it's over. But think about the last time you did it. You probably lost 20 times you did it.
Yep.
Nobody's focused on you like you focus on you.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole analogy and story that I told in my book was, when I went to hot yoga, I thought everybody was looking at me the whole time because I was an idiot. I didn't know what I was doing. Then once I got to be okay at it, I realized I didn't look at anybody. And if I did see somebody fall down, who cares? I kind of rooted them on because I was once that person. So, yeah, it's a good one.
And what makes me think about this is my kids come home all the time talking about, like, oh, man, I'm totally embarrassed myself. And then I have to give them that speech, like, they don't care. Everyone will forget about it tomorrow. Trust me.
With kids, they need somebody else to do something dumb, though, to forget.
Yeah. It's a kid.
Oh, boy, when I was
like...
T-Bone, they didn't forget that.
Oh, gosh.
That lasted for, like, 4 years.
We still talk about old T-Bone.
I know. I didn't like that. All right, good. Good. Everybody feel better? Thanks for listening to our TED Talk, everyone.
Yeah.
Here on the Bobby
TED Talk?
No. Basically.
Not really. Oh. But kind of. That's our Get to Know You series that we're doing. Yeah.
The Bobby Bones Show.
It's weird the pictures that I post on my Instagram that get likes and the ones that don't. Like, color me confused, Amy.
What?
Well, because I'll put up a picture like me and Dr. Drew. I thought it was super cool I met Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
Dr. Drew from Loveline. Apparently he's on Teen Mom or something because people are like, Lunchbox is going to freak out.
Yeah, he does. He hosts the reunions and questions them at the end of the season and gives them advice on their life.
I thought it was super cool. No, like, not nearly people liked it. 10,700. That's it. Like, in comparison, I posted a picture of me on an airplane doing nothing and, like, 40,000 likes. I didn't just a selfie. Nothing. I don't know. I think I'm losing touch with Instagram. I posted a picture of me in Three Doors Down singing at the Million Dollar Show. 10,000 likes. Nothing.
So wait, why does this mean you're losing?
Because I don't post a lot of just like selfies.
Oh, so you think you should post more selfies?
Yeah.
Because clearly that's what the people want.
Clearly, they just want my face closer in the picture. Me and Mario Lopez. Nothing. It's a Slater. Nothing. Anyway, I'm losing grasp on Instagram. Still in Hawaii, leaving tonight. Mike D is here with me. I hear the people in the studio are jealous that Mike D is here in Hawaii with me and everybody else isn't. Is that true?
I mean, I don't have that vibe. What is there something I don't know?
I mean,
Lunchbox.
I mean, the fact that you paid for him to go to Hawaii, yeah, it's pretty messed up. I mean, how long you known him? How long you known me? Cool. Just check. It's just a simple question. Just answer the question.
But could Lunchbox do Mike D's job on the road?
Eddie, that's not
Bones?
Eddie, that was not the question. The question was, how long have you known
Mike
D?
That's why Mike D's there.
And how long have you known me?
So, I'm out here doing American Idol. They paid for me to come out and work, obviously. We're shooting in Hawaii at a Disney resort, like the top 40 or so. That being said, I have to have a radio producer come out and set up the ISDN line, get all the show together, have the grid that I have out. And you can't, that's not your job, Lunchbox.
I understand. I didn't ask for all those details. I just asked who you've known, how long have you known Mike D and how long have you known me? That's all we were talking about. And you want to go into semantics.
Do you know what semantics means?
Yeah, it's some word they say that whenever like when people are talking about something like, if you want to argue about semantics, and that's kind of what you were doing. So I don't know.
Semantics is just words.
Yeah, that's what I mean, words.
Right. This is Mike's job, and I had to bring him out here, or I can't go.
Right. How long have you known Mike D? Have you known me?
I've known Mike D for about 10 years.
Yeah, it's about.
And I've known you for about 14?
Try 15 and a half, but that's cool.
15? Okay, well, I'm sorry about that.
I mean, that's cool. Hey, whatever. 5.5 years doesn't mean anything to you guys anymore. Aloha.
Aloha. Do you know, Amy, people say aloha all the time out here.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if they're saying it because we're all tourists and they just want us to feel like we're a part of it, or if like people really say it all the time. Like, do locals say aloha to locals all the time?
I have no idea.
It's their language, yeah.
No, I know, but they say it all the time.
All
it's like
the
they
time.
Drop off, and they drop off food. Aloha.
Yep.
But I don't know if they're saying it just because we're not from here. They want us to feel the vibe.
It's part of the Hawaiian like gimmick.
Even on the airplane, when we were landing, they were like, Hakuna Matata, or whatever they say.
They did
Mahalo.
Not say that.
Mahalo, that's it. Mahalo.
Did you get a lay?
Did you get laid? Yeah, that's what I wanted to know. Boy.
Because I was so sick when I landed that I threw up on the sidewalk in front of the place.
Gross.
And went straight in. I know. It was so bad, the hotel called me to make sure I was okay. Because I was so food poisoned.
Oh, wow.
So, anyway, hey, don't be mad, Lunchbox. One day you'll come to Hawaii.
Nah, probably not.
Probably not. Not on me anyway. I wouldn't pay for Mike if I didn't have to. No offense, Mike. All right, not taken.
It's time for the good news.
With Lunchbox.
Tell me something good.
Down there in Warner Robins, Georgia, Sharon Rogers has a thing she calls the interview closet. That way, if you're down on your luck and maybe you're trying to get back on your feet, she has brand new clothes, shoes, accessories, everything. If you can prove
a job interview,
that's cool.
Prove you have a job interview, you come and shop and it's free.
Yeah, that's really cool. I thought it was where you go talk to somebody, like interview them.
Yeah,
like,
me
no.
too. That's a little sketchy at first, I thought. But no,
it's
that's
interview
cool.
Closet.
That is cool. That's good. That's what it's all about right there. Where is that? Warner Robins, Georgia?
Warner Robins, Georgia.
It is.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
The new year means new resolutions, and we've got one you're working on twice a day. It's your oral health, and with a Quip electric toothbrush, sticking to good habits is simple. Quip is one of the first electric toothbrushes accepted by the American Dental Association, so you know you're starting the new year right. And with a built-in 2-minute timer, sensitive sonic vibrations for healthier gums, and a multi-use cover for brushing on the go, this'll be the easiest resolution you'll ever keep. Plus, brush heads are automatically delivered every 3 months for $5. Just a friendly reminder for when it's time for a refresh and to help you stay committed to your oral health. Over 1 million mouths love Quip, so why not make the commitment this year to a new, healthier you? Quip starts at just $25, but if you go to getquip.com/smile, you can get your first refill pack for free. Start your new year, new you right now and get your first refill pack for free at getquip.com/smile.
Folks, it's your buddy and mine,
Mr. Bobby Bones.
Let's go.
Transmitting across America.
This is the Bobby Bones Show.
That's right. Now, here he is.
Turn it up.
Come on, Bobby.
All right, over to Amy. Let's get the morning corny in.
The morning corny.
Did you hear about the drummer that had twin daughters?
No, I did not hear about the drummer that had twin daughters.
Yeah, he named them Anna 1, Anna 2.
Come on, Anna 1, Anna 2. Come on, Amy.
That was the morning corny.
Nailing them lately.
Bobby Bones.
I got a lot of nicknames. Some of them I don't like. Some of them I do. You know my favorite one, Eddie?
Yeah, country music's youngest historian.
Yeah, so that's why we do this segment on this day in country music.
The Bobby Bones Show.
On this day in
country music.
This one's fantastic. I love this story because it's not told. I would do a whole Bobby cast on this story if I could. On this day in 1996, Garth Brooks refuses to accept the AMA for Artist of the Year and says Hootie and the Blowfish deserves it and just leaves it on the stage. Do you guys know this story?
I don't remember that.
Okay, it's amazing. Garth Brooks declined the Artist of the Year trophy at the AMAs, and the AMAs were a huge deal back then, saying Hootie and the Blowfish deserve it more than he does. He leaves it on the podium. On Hootie's next album, the band thanks him. A couple years later, Darius becomes a major country artist. Now, here's the background of the story. That night, Garth had already won for Favorite Country Male Artist. Here's his, the Hits won for Favorite Country Album. Which, by the way, I have a little issue with Hits winning. I love Garth. Also, when someone says one of my favorite albums ever and you pick a greatest hits, that's a cop-out.
Just agree.
Side note. That being said, when it was announced as he was announced as Favorite of the Year, beating out Boyz II Men, Green Day, Hootie and the Blowfish, and TLC, Garth Brooks said, no, I'm not allowing it. Backstage, he said, it wasn't fair for me to walk away with the award. I've been talking to retailers, and every one of them credits Hootie and the Blowfish for keeping them alive in 1995, and I couldn't agree more. So that's who should have won, and I'm not taking the award.
Wow.
Come on. Isn't that crazy?
Do you ever talk to Darius or Garth about this, like, in private?
No, but I would love to talk to both of them about this.
Yeah.
And patch it together as a Bobby cast, right? Make a note of that, Mike D. Thank you very much. Anyway, on this day, 23 years ago, Garth Brooks refuses to accept the AMA for Artist of the Year and said Hootie deserved it. That's pretty cool. There you go. Close it up for me.
That was
On This Day in
Country Music.
All right, so what I'm going to do now, I'm going to play the three songs I'm listening to right now that I think are fantastic. First up, Amy, I found a song that speaks to me.
Okay.
You know how I find songs sometimes that I think speak to me and I'm like, oh, I get this Old Dominion song, One Man Band. It's really good. It speaks to me. Here you go. Hit it.
I don't want to be a one-man band. I don't want to be a rolling stone alone, putting miles on a rundown van. Maybe we could take our own show on the road. I'll lay down the beat. You carry the tune. We'll get tattoos and we'll trash hotel rooms. Baby, take my hand. I don't want to be a one-man band.
Isn't that song so good?
So good.
Everything they do is so good. They have slowly, low-key, become one of my real favorites.
Oh, yeah.
Like, their last record, I don't listen to all the records, hardly of anybody. Their last record was so good, their whole album. And who has time to listen to albums anymore? I do, if it's Old Dominion. So that's one of them. That Cassie Ashton song, Violins, that's really good. Check this one out.
I can't hear the violins you're playing. There's no symphony inside my head. I got my own marching band. Guess I lost my give a damn. I can't hear the violins you're playing.
Yeah, she's good, man. She's going to come in. Yeah, same.
That song's so good. Like, that song better do really good. Like, yeah. If it does, I mean, I want to, like, say threatening things. Like, if that song doesn't do really good, then, but then I don't really have a threat other than I will just not understand radio.
It's rare that you get that passionate about a song.
Oh.
It's so good, though, right?
It's so good.
Yeah,
and
she's going to come in and play it.
And it's going to irritate me if, like, nothing happens with it.
Cassie Ashton, Violins. Hit it again, Raymundo.
I can't hear the violins you're playing.
Download or stream that one. Here, I'll give you one more. This song from Julia Michaels called Anxiety is really good. Demi Lovato's on it too. Check this out.
But all my friends, they don't know what it's like, what it's like. They don't understand why I can't sleep through the night. I've been told that I could take something to fix it. Damn, I wish it was that simple.
Selena Gomez, not Demi Lovato. Whatever.
Well,
I don't know the difference, so it's all good.
I don't know the difference.
Pretty similar.
If you were to put 20 pictures up of them and mix them all up, I don't know that I'd get it right every time. But like she's awesome. So those are the songs I'm listening to now. I will put them up. Bobby Bone Show. So it's Old Dominion, Cassie Ashton, and Julia Michaels. All right. There you have it. Thank you very much.
The Bobby Bone Show.
The news had a clip about this Dine and Dash dater where they actually had a woman he went out with. Do you want to hear this, Amy?
Sure, yeah.
Fantastic story, just because it's so interesting. Dude goes out, gets a girl on a date, orders all this food, and then jumps out. But then it's against the law, apparently. Here you go.
She doesn't want to be identified, but this woman we'll call Hunter believes she's the latest victim of the Dine and Dash dater.
He's a very, very handsome man. His eyes are absolutely gorgeous.
On Friday night, Hunter went to Mercado Restaurant in Pasadena to meet a man who she met on a dating app. The guy who called himself Mike had already ordered some food.
He ordered shrimp tacos before I arrived.
After they both placed their orders, Mike excused himself to go to the restroom. This isn't the first time we've heard this story and seen this guy's face.
And then they find out he's been doing it everywhere. My favorite part's that she knew the order.
The tacos. Like,
yeah, and he got there early and already started ordering. Like, ate and then jumped. We shouldn't laugh. No. Or should we? Amy, you're a girl. What do you think when you hear this?
I mean, it's funny. I don't know. I don't think it's bad to laugh. But, I mean, he shouldn't be doing that.
Right, right. Yeah, we all agree on that, right, guys?
Yeah.
Let's go over to Morgan number two. He's 25 years old now, and it's here what 25-year-olds care about.
What do 25-year-olds care about?
So Anne Hathaway finally confirmed that a Princess Diaries 3 is coming.
Oh, yeah. 37-year-olds cool.
Oh, like
care
that?
About that, too.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Tell me more, Morgan number two.
So her and Julie Andrews are on board, and there's a script that they're already working on, but it's not going to come until it's totally perfect because they want it to be perfect for all the fans.
So they are working on a Princess Diaries 3. Now, I haven't seen 2 or 1. So it doesn't strike me, but if 25-year-olds care about it, or as Amy said, or 37-year-olds.
Yeah.
Yeah. I should care a little bit. Why do you guys like this one so much?
I don't know.
It's just
good.
Yeah. It was a really big, like, rom-com for a while.
Princess movies with Anne Hathaway, pretty amazing.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Morgan number two. And that's what 25-year-olds care about right there.
Hey, what do 25-year-olds care about?
All right, let's go over to Amy, who is running the mailbag. Where do you get these emails, Amy?
My work email.
Oh, they just email your work email?
Yeah, I think it's attached to my Instagram, so then they click email, and then that's how they find me.
Oh, all right, well, what's email number one?
Okay, this is from Darcy. Do you think you could squeeze an update out of Bobby about his bio dad? He mentioned on air after his book came out that he'd tell us more months later, and I'm dying to know.
Okay, bio dad sounds like biodegradable.
I think
like
she
a scientific term.
Biological. Yep.
Yes. If you're new to the show, I did not know my biological father for many, many, many years. When I wrote my last book, I talked about how I wanted to face a big fear of mine, and I went and met him. And how are we now? I saw him again at my grandmother's funeral, which was his mom. And I wasn't super close to her. I hadn't talked to her in years. But it was still my grandmother, so I went, and he was there. We said hello and shook hands. We really didn't have a long conversation. We've probably texted 3 times.
Really?
Yeah, maybe 2 or 3 times.
About what?
Nothing. Hey, you good? I think you probably texted me when I won Dancing with the Stars.
Really? I didn't know that.
I think so. We've texted about 3 times. There's still not really a relationship there.
Did you use emojis?
Why? What do you mean by that?
You use emojis sometimes when you're, I don't know, uncomfortable.
No, I don't think I used emojis, but it's not super comfortable, but it's not awful. I mean, I don't know that I would have went to that funeral.
Had you not met him.
Yeah, had we not already met. And I wrote about the whole story. I have a book called Fail Until You Don't. You can check out that story. But that's where the relationship is. It's not negative, but it's definitely not something that, you know, I don't go home. But I would not go home now.
Right.
Because of that. So there's the update on that. What else?
This is from Melissa. She said, I saw in WebMD that change in taste could be caused by medications or early signs of Alzheimer's or Parkinson's. I'm sure the worst is not likely, but she thought that you should know, Bobby, since you have a change in your taste buds right now.
Yeah, I did get off of a bunch of anxiety medicine. And so I don't know why, but I've been tasting things like sawdust, even water. And Amy will taste it after me and say it does not taste like sawdust.
It tastes like water. So,
I hope it's not Alzheimer's or Parkinson's. I hope it's just me getting off all anxiety medicine. But thank you, Melissa. Don't ever link me to WebMD because then I get in it and I think I'm dying.
Okay.
Yes. Thank you. What else?
This is from Brett. He said, I applied for the phone screener job with you guys and I thought it would be fun to write a song for y'all for a cover letter. And he sent a link to the song.
Okay. So we're trying to fill a position that Hillary is still running right now because she got promoted. She's still doing the phones until we get someone else. But how long is the song here? A minute?
50 seconds.
Okay, here's
like
a guy.
50 seconds.
Okay. What's his name?
Brett.
Okay. This is Brett Hauser singing a song to come and answer our phones on the Bobby Bone Show. Go ahead.
Hey, Bobby Bones. I want to answer your phones. It's not Monday morning, but I must confess, working with the Bone Show would be the best. With Amy and Lunchbox and Morgan's 1 and 2, Mike D, Bray, Hillary, and Eddie too. Tell me something good.
He rhymed 2 and 2. I respect that a little bit. Morgan,
well,
number two.
Yeah.
But he rhymed T-W-O with T-O-O.
Not bad.
You know,
skills.
You know what? I admire that. Here's the update on that is that I'm interviewing a few people later this week, Thursday or Friday. Maybe okay. Thursday. We've got it down to a few people that Morgan number one, and they've done some cuts. So I'm going to interview a few people. But I'll take your video into consideration if they don't work out. How's that?
Okay.
All right, one more email. Let me go ahead.
This one's from David, and he said, I was listening to the show about Bobby dating, and he said, why not Morgan number two? They say your best friends are your soulmates.
Oh, my goodness.
They're both single and always talking about dating. Just my thoughts.
Yeah, Bones.
Thanks for reading if you get this. And then he said, also, it'd be really great if you followed my baby on Instagram.
What?
I don't know what that means.
All right.
But Morgan number two, dating her. Address that.
Morgan number two sits right across from me in the studio. Like, directly. My eyes meet hers often. Morgan number two, what do you think about this?
You're my boss. That's so weird.
That's right.
But what does that mean? Like, weird, like, you're not attracted to him? Or, like, weird, like...
Like, I'm not even thinking about that because he's my boss.
Okay, but if he wasn't your boss.
Yeah.
Because we can arrange that. I don't want to lose my job.
Listen.
I mean, for love?
Yeah, you wouldn't need to work. It's
exactly.
Fine.
I would. You could be a stay-at-home mama.
That's funny. What's the guy's name? David?
Was David,
that
one? Yeah.
David, I appreciate that. I'm not going to hire somebody and then date them, right?
What about fire and date?
Well, Morgan number two is awesome, and she's going to find somebody awesome, but I would never date someone that I have working for me. You know what I mean? Morgan number two, you're 25, right?
Yeah, I am.
Right there on the bottom of the cutoff, Amy.
I know.
Yep.
And you like blondes, right?
Hey, I'm equal opportunity.
You used to always just be brunette, but now I don't think it matters. Now you're just open to whatever.
I'm open for anything.
It's time for the good news
with Bobby.
Tell me something good.
This kid Liam, 12 years old, but making a big difference in Massachusetts. He's the founder and operator of Liam's Lunches of Love. It's an organization dedicated to handing out meals to homeless people in Cambridge. Over last year, just last year, Liam, 12 years old, handed out over 2,000 lunches to the homeless population in his neighborhood. On each paper bag, he writes a handwritten message, often accompanied by an encouraging little doodle. And other people from across the states have contributed to his mission. His father created a GoFundMe page for his son's organization back in April, and since then it's amassed over $44,000 that he will purchase a food truck so he can travel across Boston and give away free lunches to more homeless people.
Wow.
Wow.
Awesome. Kid's 12. Isn't that crazy?
Yes.
Liam's Lunches of Love. He created that. He just went out and did it.
I like that name, too.
Lunchbox, what are you creating over there? You always want to create something?
Man, I'm working on some things over here.
And Liam just went out and did it. Like, he didn't work on things. He just did it.
Right. I don't know where he gets the funding, though. That's my problem. I don't have the funding.
Well, when he was new, he raised money himself. He did money himself.
Yeah, I know.
Like, five lunches at a time, turned into 10, turned into 100.
Right. And I come to you guys whenever I'm...
No, he didn't go to anyone. Okay, there you have it. Liam, shout out, buddy.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
It has become an annual tradition. Every May, iHeartRadio brings the biggest names in country music to Austin, Texas, to throw the biggest country party of the year. And the date is set. We're coming back again to Austin on Saturday, May 4th, for our 2019 iHeart Country Festival. Your favorite artists coming together for one night, sharing one massive stage for four straight hours of your favorite country music, along with some once-in-a-lifetime moments you can only see at iHeart Country. And it's all live. Hey, it's Bobby Bones, here to announce the lineup for our 2019 iHeart Country Festival. We'll be making music history with the biggest names on tour, and we want you to be there. The festival sells out so quick, but you can win tickets and trips to be there. And, of course, you can hear it live here on iHeartRadio. All right, it's time to do this. Here is our 2019 iHeart Country Festival lineup. Tim McGraw.
But I like it, I love it, I want some more of it.
Florida Georgia Line.
Really simple as can be.
Dan and Shay. Luke Combs.
She got the best of me.
Little Big Town.
I was born and raised in the bloodline.
Old Dominion.
But she kept the hotel key.
Chris Jansen.
I can fix them.
Bobby Bones and the Raging
Bobby
Idiots.
Hit the road, but now
Lauren Elena.
Take the road.
And Tennille Towns.
Somebody died.
The biggest stars in country music all on one stage, live, Saturday, May 4th in Austin, Texas. It's our 2019 iHeart Country Festival from iHeartRadio, the number one app for country music fans. Tickets go on sale February 8th at 12 noon Central through TexasBoxOffice.com. It's our night to celebrate the best in country music with you, and we'll see you in Austin.
It's your buddy and mine,
Mr. Bobby Bones.
Let's go.
Transmitting across America.
This is the Bobby Bones Show.
That's right.
Now, here he is.
Turn it up.
Come on, Bobby.
All right, Lunchbox, tell me what you did.
Well, it's the middle of January, I guess towards the end of January, and people still in my neighborhood, they have their Christmas lights up, and they turn them on every single night. So if they're willing to celebrate Christmas all the way through January, I figure that we might as well go caroling in the Christmas spirit.
So you went to their houses.
I went to their houses at night. It's dark outside. I put my Christmas sweater on, and I went knocking.
Did you get the cops called on you in any of these clips?
No, not. I mean, they may have called them, but I was gone by the time they got there if they did.
All right. Here is Lunchbox caroling in late January at houses that refuse to take their Christmas lights down. Clip number one.
I love that you love Christmas as much as I do. Deck the halls with boughs of holly. Fa la 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 la. Tis the season to be jolly. Fa la 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 la. Don we now our gay apparel. Fa la 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 la.
Thanks. I really have to get out of
this. Tis deck Rudolph the red nose.
Thank you.
What was she saying?
She's on the phone.
She's on the phone. I gotta go. She started trying to walk back in, so I thought maybe she wanted a song change.
Oh, yeah. Jukebox switch.
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
Clip number two. Lunchbox going to houses that have their Christmas lights still up in late January and singing Christmas carols. Here we go.
Hello, I love Christmas as much as like dashing through the snow. No?
Wait, what just happened?
He opened the door. I started talking about Christmas and caroling, and he goes, nope. And I start singing, and he closes the door.
Wow.
Like, he did not want to hear any of it.
All right. Here is Lunchbox at house. There are five. I have five clips here, Amy. Lunchbox, there are five houses in your neighborhood that still have lights up.
Oh, there's more than five. I only went to five. I mean, I figured we couldn't play 50.
All right, here's number three. Go ahead.
Hello, I love that it's Christmas year-round. I love Christmas, so I'm here to sing a Christmas carol. Frosty the Snowman is a fairy tale, they say. He was made of snow, but the children know he came to life one day. There must have been some magic in that old silk hat they found. For when they placed it on his head, he began to dance around. Oh, Frosty the Snowman was alive as he could be. And the children say he could laugh and play just the same way as you and me. Frosty the Snowman,
is this
Merry
just you singing?
Merry Christmas.
Christmas.
Thank you very much. Happy New Year.
Woo-hoo! Well, they
that was
just
like Lunchbox singing. Yeah.
They let me sing the whole song.
Two things that I've noticed from these clips. Thing number one is that he is knocking and then singing. That's not how you Christmas carol.
What do you mean?
You're just supposed to sing and they come to the door, right?
I have no idea. I don't really carol unless I'm doing it this way. And I figure they probably...
Yeah, I think you start singing and people get curious. Like,
yeah. They're like, what is that noise? What's that joyous yeah. noise?
Oh.
Lunchbox like knocks.
I didn't know that's how it went.
Yeah. So, and then that's the first thing. What else did I notice about this?
If you can hear some bells, those are on my Christmas sweater. Just in case you're wondering what the bells are, that's my Christmas sweater, guys.
The second thing is I would think he's trying to case my house. Like, there's an adult man trying to rob my house.
Oh, yeah. That's, well, yeah.
And Frosty the Snowman's kind of hard to sing. I don't really know how that one goes. I don't know.
I have two more clips. Do we want them or not, Amy?
Yes.
Okay, here's number four. Go ahead.
Merry Christmas. I love that you still have your Christmas lights on in January, so I'm going to sing you a Christmas song. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas,
okay.
Just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten.
Go to the next house, please.
Merry Christmas.
Wow.
Wow, wow, wow.
Not a lot of Christmas spirit out there.
Man.
Hey, I'm going to ask you honestly, Lunchbox. This glass clip, it says it's 1 minute long.
Yeah.
Now, if you're going to sing for a whole minute, like that 42-second one, I don't know that I can hit it. Is it worth 1 minute?
Oh, man, it's the Christmas spirit. What do you mean? We haven't even heard from Rudolph yet.
Does something happen in this clip that makes it worth 1 minute?
Absolutely.
Okay, here's the last clip. The final one.
Hello, I love that you have Christmas year-round. I love Christmas, so I'm here to sing you a carol. Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer had a very shiny nose like a light bulb. And if you ever saw it, you would say it glows like a flashlight. All of the other reindeer used to laugh and call him names like Pinocchio. They never let poor Rudolph play in any reindeer games like Monopoly.
Then one foggy Christmas Eve,
oh my God,
Santa came to say, ho, 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 Rudolph with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight? Then all the other reindeer loved him, and they shouted out with glee, yippee! Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer, reindeer, you'll go down in history like Washington!
Yeah!
Merry Christmas!
Thank you!
Yes, all right!
Merry January!
Yeah, Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas!
They loved it.
He brought his family to the front door. Like, he answered it, and then I start singing, and he starts waving his kids and his wife over. So I had a party of five watching me sing. That was awesome.
Can I make a recommendation? You could have cut to the last chorus of that song, the last part of it, and just run that part. Just a little tip.
What are you?
But it's a good segment, though. It's a good segment. How about that? Come on, guys. Good segment. By the way, Eddie has an idea for you to go do a hidden mic bit or like a microphone bit in the mall. Eddie?
Yeah, I do. So, you know, in the middle of the mall, you got all those dads and husbands that are like drugged by their wives and they just sit there on those couches in the middle of the mall. I think Lunchbox should go up, Amy, and like pep talk them and say, like, you don't have to do this to yourself. You can tell your wife no. Like, you don't have to sit here and stand for this.
Oh, yeah, that'd
be
good.
Just interview them. Yeah.
Okay. No, that'd be good.
But if it's like a 5-minute conversation, like edit that down a little bit.
Listen, I'm sorry you don't enjoy my singing.
I did. I enjoyed it a lot. I loved it.
I thought the awkwardness is what makes it great.
Come on, come on. All right. Thank you, Lunchbox.
Ho, ho, ho.
The Bobby Bones Show.
Let's play another round of the game. Guess the country artist's merch. Okay?
Oh, I like this.
So I'll give you a merch item and you just got to tell me who the artist is.
Okay.
Number one, it's a $20 girl's tote bag that says, should have been a cowboy. A $20 girl's tote bag that says, should have been a cowboy. Go to the show, you see this. Amy in?
Yes.
Lunchbox in? Eddie's in?
I'm in.
All right, Lunchbox.
Garth Brooks.
Amy?
Toby Keith.
Eddie?
Toby Keith.
I should have been a cowboy.
The girl part didn't throw you guys off, huh?
Should have
to the ladies. Yeah. He sells more merch in one night than the president makes.
I make more merch.
I make more on merch in one night than the president does in a whole year. That's what he told us.
He came on and said that. Just like
Gene. All right, number two. Whose merch item is a $10 pop socket that says Ada, Oklahoma, 1976? Whose merch item sells it at the shows? A $10 pop socket that says Ada, Oklahoma, 1976.
I'm in.
I'm in.
I'm in for the win.
Lunchbox?
Blake Shelton.
Amy?
Blake Shelton.
Eddie?
Blake.
And I'm just the guy with the girl.
Yeah, the Ada, Oklahoma is in that documentary. The Innocent Man.
Yeah.
That's where they.
Is that his birth year?
1976?
Yeah. Must be.
Probably.
It's got,
no,
why
he's
got to
be older than that.
No.
No.
That means he's 40, only 2 years older than Eddie.
It means he's 42.
Blake's only 42?
We both look good.
I mean, why else would he have 1976 on the pop?
I don't know.
Random year.
You're probably right. I thought he was older than that.
Man. I did too.
If you would have asked me, I'd have thought he was like 45. Yeah, 1976. Wow. Funny watching him do. All right, how about this one?
You're aging well, Blake.
Now, let me do this one. This is context clues here about the letters. A $20 t-shirt that says KM Street Team. A $20 t-shirt that says KM Street Team. Who has that right there?
It's
what?
So easy. I'm in for the win. So easy.
A $20 t-shirt. This is KM Street Team.
I'm in.
Lunchbox?
That's Casey Musgraves.
Amy?
Oh, I'm done. I don't have anything, but it's Casey Musgraves.
No, what'd you write?
I wrote KM Street Team. I don't know.
Eddie?
I said Kelsey Mallarini. So dumb.
It's Casey Musgraves. Not funny, though. Everybody's tied right now. 2-2-2.
Woo! I'm all good.
All right. Two more. A $30 white beach towel that says 15 and a 30.
I'm in.
A $30 white beach towel that says 15 and a 30.
I'm in.
I'm in for the win.
In.
All right, Amy?
Sam Hunt.
Lunchbox?
Sam Hunt.
Eddie?
Sam Hunt.
Do 15 and a 30.
There you go.
I ain't no.
Oh, that song's so good. Still.
That's how much we know it. Like, how well we know it.
One more. a $30 t-shirt. You go to the show, and the shirt says, Mamas ought to qualify for sainthood.
I'm in.
Oh, wow.
I'm in.
Eddie's in.
Might as well be in for the win.
Lunchbox?
Miranda Lambert?
No.
What?
That is incorrect.
No, Mama's broken heart.
No.
Mama's ought to qualify for sainthood. Who has that merch item? Let's go to Amy.
Luke Bryan.
Eddie?
Luke Bryan.
I believe most people are good and most mamas ought to qualify for sainthood.
All right, you two are still in. Sudden death.
I believe most Friday nights look better under neon stadium.
Buzz in with your name if you know it.
So bad at buzzing.
Here we go. $10 tube socks that are illustrated with a desert and a man and woman in front of the car traveling across the country.
Eddie.
Eddie.
That's Chris Stapleton.
I'm just a traveler.
There he is.
Shots him and his wife on a sock.
That's it. Hey, give the guy a song. There he is.
There he
come
is.
Come on, Lunchbox, clap.
He doesn't clap for anybody else.
That's crazy.
He demands you clap for him.
Unbelievable.
Eddie, congratulations.
Thank
buddy.
You, moms.
Okay, so Nicole Galyon is here. Who have you met, Nicole?
Yes, I have. She's amazing.
How do you guys know each other?
Well, first, just through you talking about her. She was on your podcast.
Oh, that's true.
So you did then, from the Bobbycast, I started following her on Instagram, and then the usual, you feel like you know someone, and I think I saw you like in an award show somewhere. At least I remember this, and I was like, I feel like I know you because of Instagram. And then just, you know, DMing or messaging, and then...
You guys
just,
DM each other?
Well, so I guess
dang,
responding to
friends?
Stories, like sometimes, or what is it called if you reply to a story?
Yeah, that works.
Yeah. So it's sort of like that, and then, you know, now I see you around.
Well, Nicole Galyon, hey, Nicole Galyon is here, everybody.
Yeah.
Welcome
thank
to the
you.
Show, Nicole.
Thank you.
We brought you in for a couple of reasons. One, because you're really a great songwriter, but you just won the CMA Triple Play Award, and it means you wrote three number one songs in 12 months. Are you ready to hear the song she wrote, Amy?
Yes.
First of all the pretty girls from Kenny Chesney. Are you familiar with this song?
I am.
Okay.
All the pretty girls said, all of the whiskey went to.
So you wrote this, huh?
I did.
How did this song get to Kenny Chesney?
I wrote it with Josh Osborne and Tommy Lee James, and Josh just, you know, it's kind of like the Nashville TV show. Josh just probably texted him the song once it was demoed, and he liked it, and it was pretty simple.
So do you get a text going, hey, Kenny Chesney likes our song, and he's going to sing it?
Yeah, well, you get, oh, Kenny loves it. But still, in your songwriter heart, you're very much like, you know, keeping all of your excitement at bay because that doesn't mean much in this town. You know, somebody loving a song is one thing, but somebody actually following through and cutting it is like you're still a world away from getting in the cut.
So when he records it and you hear it for the first time, is it already on the record at that point?
Yeah, I don't think that I heard the cut of this until it came out on the record. I didn't.
That's weird how you wrote it, but you don't get to hear it until it's already fully done.
Not unless you just happen to be like buddies with him and on his plane or something.
And you're not
and
on Kenny's plane?
I'm not in on that level.
So that's the first one she wrote inside 12 months. The second one is, and maybe you know this one here, this is Coming Home, Keith Urban and Julia Michaels.
Coming home.
And so on this one, didn't you guys add a credit because of the guitar lick?
Yeah, they sampled the Merle Haggard song. Mm. And I think that was done. Keith with JR wrote them in LA. They started the song together, the two of them. And JR is the producer. And he had, like, they had this idea to sample. I wasn't there. This was before I was ever brought in to work on the song, but they started it like that. So I guess Merle was technically kind of in on it from the beginning. And then Keith asked me to help with the lyric a little bit, and I worked on it with him some, and then he was like, I want to see what Julia Michaels would contribute. So then he pulled her in, and it was like, it was one of the, probably the most complex and unique writing journeys that I've had on a song.
So they had already started the bam out when they brought you in.
Yeah.
And so you worked on the lyrics with them.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Coming.
And that went number one. And then this one here, which is The Monster.
When I taste tequila,
you wrote this one here.
Dan Smyers of Dan and Shay and Jordan Reynolds.
When you guys finish this song, do you go, well, that's a monster?
No. I actually have a screenshot of our email from the day that he sent the demo, and I think there were words like, oh, I really love this, said, and then I was like, guys, this is a smash or something, which feels not very characteristic of me because I usually like don't want to be the hype man, but I felt really good about it, and I think we all did, and a year later we were still listening to the demo, so they put it on the record.
How long ago did you write that song?
2 years ago. It was written in January, and then the next January it came out. It was released. So I think Dan started working on it, probably in his garage or something, a few months after we wrote it.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. No, it's crazy.
So those three songs, all in 1 year, went number one, and you're getting the CMA Triple Play Award. Come on, we got a big songwriter here, big talented songwriter, Nicole Galyon. Some other songs. Female, Keith Urban. Miranda Lambert, Automatic. And how about this one? Camila Cabello.
Oh,
this
yeah.
is the one now, her single now, Consequences.
Loving you is sunshine.
So how do you get in the pop mix?
Well, not by trying to. Someone said this weekend, right? They're like, you know, do that thing that you do. You have like two songs on the pop charts. And I was like, I couldn't have tried to write a song for the pop charts, you know, but I think it just kind of happened accidentally. So this song I wrote with Emily Wiseman, who everyone's going to know who she is in just a matter of time, and Amy Wadge, who is from the UK, and she's written a bunch of songs with Ed Sheeran. So like the three of us had never written before. We got together. We just put this little song over a piano part, and it was recorded just a piano. And then Amy went back across the pond and played it for Ed Sheeran, and the song wasn't completely finished at that point, but it was kind of like a rough draft of the song, and she played it for Ed, and Ed was like, oh my gosh, you know who would love this is this girl that just left Fifth Harmony. And he said her name, Camila Cabello, and I didn't know by name all the members of Fifth Harmony at that point, but I was like, if Ed thinks it, that's where the song should go.
You didn't even know then? It wasn't.
No, I didn't know who she was.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Because this was several years ago. This was like this was before she had even announced she was leaving the group, but I guess some inside people knew, and so they were like, let's you know, play this for her, and then she came in and helped finish the song.
Come on. That's cool.
Yeah. It's a great song.
So the song truly went all the way around the world and back to get cut, which is really cool.
Well, Nicole Galyon, thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Look at this. We got a superstar songwriter in here. We don't bring many songwriters in.
I know.
To the show, but that's pretty cool, huh?
And there's just so much more in you to come, which I think is so cool. And I love, like, I love that, knowing that about you and how supportive you are of, like, other writers, especially females and artists. Like, you're, I don't know, I feel like you're like a trailblazer for a
Thank
lot of
you.
People.
And quite the Insta stories. She's good at Instagram. Yeah.
Oh, no. She's like intimidatingly good at Instagram. Like sometimes I'm watching and I'm like, okay, well, I suck at life. But then once you meet her and you know her, you're like, okay, you know, I think you see the world different. Like you're super creative. That's clear. And I think that shows it's like an art. Like your Instagram is art.
10 songwriters are getting the award, but Nicole's the only female. Wow, look at that this year.
Yeah, see?
Trailblazer, you said it.
I said it.
At Nick at Night Music, at NIC at Night, NITE, Nick at Night Music. Nicole, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
All right, Nicole Galyon. Hey, Nicole Galyon, yes. Everybody. Do you want to know why 2019 is the year of best fiends? Well, listen up. Hey, it's Bobby Bones. And like most people I know, finding things that make you happy is the secret to having a great year. That's why you should play Best Fiends. It's an amazing mobile game that will let you do just that. Have a ton of fun. Best Fiends is the 5-star rated mobile game with thousands of challenging, fun puzzles, tons of characters to collect. Our listeners have been obsessed with Best Fiends for over a year now, and I don't think it gets old. Having to think through each puzzle is very satisfying when you get it. And the best part is that everything's always different. It's fun to solve. It feels so good every time you beat that level, and there are even leaderboards in the game. So if you share it with your friends and family, you can always see how everyone's doing, and of course, make sure that you're ahead. Best Fiends can have some intense competition between friends and family, but it's all good fun, right? Take the Best Fiends Challenge now. All you have to do is download Best Fiends for free from the Apple App Store or Google Play today. That's Friends Without the R, Best Fiends, FIENDS, Best Fiends. The Bobby
Bones Show. Here's Amy's pile of stories.
So I told y'all that Conversation Hearts, they're not going to be on sale this Valentine's Day because they went out of business and the company that bought them didn't get production in time. So yeah, no Conversation Hearts. But Krispy Kreme Donuts is filling in, and you can get donuts in the shape of a heart with the conversation things like call me, be mine. And they're even doing modern messages like all the feels and so extra.
Oh,
Oh, there you go. What place is that again?
Krispy Kreme.
That's funny.
So you can go get Conversation Heart Donuts.
Yeah, good on them, too, because they saw something that was kind of trending and cool, and they just made it a thing real quick. That's cool. Yeah. What else?
Okay, so laughing is obviously really, really good for you, but I have the top things that make people laugh. And then I want to see, Bobby, what makes you laugh in the day.
Okay. Can I get mine before you give the top five list?
Yeah.
The top five things that make me laugh. The Office.
Okay. And you do Eddie. Watch that, like, almost every day.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah, Eddie's funny to me.
Oh.
Our producer, Eddie. Oh, you feel hurt? Okay.
Yeah.
Eddie
I
slash
like that.
Amy.
Amy, come on.
Thank you.
Listen, now hold on. I can't do that. I can't jeopardize my list. So if you just ask me from my head, it goes The Office, Eddie. There is this Instagram account called
gosh.
Kids Getting Hurt.
I got beat by an Instagram account. You don't even know.
And it's so funny, but I can't watch all of them. And then also I put on there Amy.
Thanks.
You're welcome. How do you know I'm not going to number one?
Okay, because I know the office is number,
sure
one.
Number one.
Duh.
Oh,
you don't
okay.
Have that
that's
five.
All I have. What else? What's the top five?
Okay,
number five,
so,
Amy.
Dad jokes. What up? That's sort of basically like my morning corny. And number four, reality TV. I don't understand.
Yeah.
Number three is memes and animal videos.
Oh, I love me. I sit and watch memes all day long.
Yeah, they're great. And then two is TV sitcoms. So that's probably, you know, like The Office. And then the number one thing that people laugh at every day is things that kids say.
Anything your kids have said that's funny, Amy, recently?
Not recently, but they just make me laugh. I mean, Stevenson literally is obsessed with coming down dressed like Steve Urkel every day. And so he comes down and he's like, did I do that?
Oh, he actually does the Steve Urkel
thing. Yeah, because we watch. Well, once he started dressing that way, we were like, you look just like Steve Urkel. And he, of course, did not know who that was. So I pulled it up on YouTube. And now we watch clips on YouTube and he's obsessed. And he comes down and he just laughs at himself. I even bought a mirror for his room because it has to stop. But he thinks he looks really good.
Eddie, do your kids say anything funny?
They just say dumb stuff that kids say. Like, the other day, like, my 5-year-old, he said, like, I'm the bomb.com. I'm just like, what are you talking about? Who says
that's
that?
Funny,
who
that's funny, Eddie. That's funny, Eddie. See? There he goes again, being funny. There's Eddie again.
No, that's his kid being funny. That's not even Eddie.
I know, but I count on it from Eddie. There you go. All right, what else?
Okay, so, Bobby, I know you're having trouble sleeping. So, I read that being rocked to sleep will help you. You know how that works for babies, but they say that it works for adults as well. So all you have to do is continuously rock for 45 minutes, and that'll help give you a better night's sleep. So I don't know if you have anybody that could rock you or like what, but...
I don't, but my last girlfriend would like, when I was trying to sleep, she would like pet my my head and play with my hair.
Did that help you?
Mm-hmm, that's good.
That's nice.
That's it. Yep. Mm. That it?
Yeah, I'm Amy. That's my pile. Bobby Bones.
Yeah. It's going to wrap it today. I am flying back today from Hawaii. I'll be back. It's like a 12-hour fly day.
Whoa.
Maybe 13-hour. It's like 10 and a half hours to get back to Atlanta and then Atlanta to Nashville. So, tomorrow I should be back in the studio. Yippee.
Be good to see you.
I know. I miss you guys so much.
I bet.
I have a bunch of stories I didn't get to today. A truck driver from Brooklyn wins $298 million Powerball. Quit his job immediately.
Sweet.
Jeez.
I know, right?
I wish.
That's pretty awesome.
It'd be fun to work a couple days, though, being super rich, right?
No, not as a truck driver. You'd be like, no, I'm out. If it's your dream job, yeah.
Okay, there's that one. Lady Gaga nearly went bankrupt at the height of her stardom. Did you guys see this?
No. Why? What'd she do?
She was on top of the showbiz world in 2011, but she had more than $3 million in debt.
Whoa.
She said, I actually went bankrupt after the first extension of Monsters Ball. Everybody said, why are people saying I have no money? This is ridiculous. I have 5 number one singles. They said, you're $3 million in debt. She said, the only things I've purchased are my dad's heart valve and a Rolls Royce for my parents. Other than that, I put everything into the show. Maybe her own money into the show.
Yeah, she Dave Ramsey that?
Snowball it or what?
Yeah, $3 million? Gosh.
That's
she
a
started
lot,
with like the credit card with the most debt, and then
a drunk
smallest.
Uber passenger caught on the dash cam trying to grab steering wheel from the driver.
Ooh, that's scary.
I wonder if Ubers have guns with them.
Ooh, good question.
I have never seen one. Have I?
Well, yeah, you wouldn't see it. I mean, they don't have it. They're not putting on their finger, spinning it around as you're in the back seat.
Oh.
But that's a crazy thing, right?
Yeah.
Because you got to understand that there are a bunch of drunk people that get into Ubers. They probably do drunk people things, like, let me drive. One of the world's greatest athletes officially retiring from sports. Wait, Usain Bolt quit? Do you guys see that?
I know he retired from track, yeah.
Now he's quitting soccer, I guess?
Oh, well, I mean, he was just doing like a publicity thing where he was trying to make it on this team. He wasn't ever going to make it.
Oh, well, a 10-year-old boy bowled a perfect game.
Wow, yeah. That's cool.
And Eddie's 11-year-old still uses bumpers.
What a jerk.
That pretty funny, Lunchbox.
We should all go bowling. That'd be a fun, like,
that would be
show
fun.
Activity.
Yeah.
Show bonding.
Okay.
When you get back?
You go tonight.
Oh. Okay. Yeah, before you get back, cool.
Go tonight and then let me know tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah. Whatever.
I get
if we go
goes.
Without you, you'd be sad.
Amy, what's going on today?
I don't even know. Like, I don't know.
Don't even know.
Kids, I don't know. Life. Still trying to figure this out, this whole schedule thing. But work out, get the kids.
I get you.
That's it.
Tomorrow morning, Lauren Jenkins is in, one of my class of 2019. I'm going to leave now because I'm going to fly back to America.
Hawaii
you're
is
in America.
In America.
It's the mainland.
It's so far
Does
away,
it feel
man.
Like you're in another it's, country?
Yes, yes, because it's so far away. It's just like, if something happened, I want to be able to get back. That makes me nervous the whole time I'm out here. Like, if something happened, I couldn't get back.
Like what? Like what would happen?
I don't know. All right. That's it. Good to go. See you guys later. Goodbye, everybody. Bye.
The Bobby Bones Show.
Bobby Bones.